Mahalo for listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, the station that loves you. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox, and that was David Nelson with a cover of Ripple by the Grateful Dead. We always love our fine friends at the Homegrown Garden Island Bluegrass Show. Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Kauai Canvas, Al Pastor Tacos, and George's Food Truck.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
Kauai Canvas, professional gallery quality giclée canvas printing and digital image capture now available on Kauai. Managing print flow, stretching, and even crating. More information at 212-6971 or online at kauaicanvas.com. Kauai Canvas, stretch your imagination.
Al Pastor Tacos supports KKCR across the street from the craft fair in Kapa'a by the beach. Al Pastor Tacos serves fresh grilled local fish, steak, chicken, and pork tacos, and burritos in the Al Pastor style. Also a garden salad and choices for the kids. Open every day from 11 to 4. Takeout orders welcome. Al Pastor Tacos, authentic Mexican food. 652-6953.
Chef George of the Jungle Food Truck, now in Wailua at Kamokila Hawaiian Village, serving local burgers, gyros, and falafel. Also, Summer's Organic Shave Ice with fresh fruit. Open Sunday through Friday, 10:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. 783-0230 for takeout. Chef George of the Jungle supports KKCR.
Hawaii Dairy Farms is conducting a voluntary environmental impact statement for its proposed dairy in Mahaulipu. To learn more about what will be studied in the EIS and to submit comments about the scope of the review, Hawaii Dairy Farms is holding a community meeting at the Koloa Elementary School cafeteria on Thursday, February 19th at 7 p.m. More information at hawaiidairyfarms.com.
Do you want to help children reach their full potential? The post-baccalaureate program in special education at the University of Hawaii at Manoa will train you to become a licensed special educator of children with mild to severe disabilities or autism. This is an opportunity to further your education, build confidence, and enter a field where there is great need. Application deadline is March 1st. Tuition stipends may be available. More information at 808-726-0054 or email spedinfo@hawaii.edu.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio, the station that loves you. I just want to give a shout out to this whole team here, Dean, Dove, Laura Christine, all the many people who support this station. It is a beacon of hope. It is a way of making things work. When we even just listen to the announcements for the Manoa Special Education and the Hawaii Dairy Farm presentation, is this a great place to learn what's up and what's around. And today's show, Marshall, are you there?
Aloha.
He's there. So what I was just bringing up is we're talking about power tension when there's, I think that something that happens from diapers on, you know, mine, everybody's fighting over things and whoever wants whatever they want. But just like many other things, as our population is increasing across this globe and our technology and our capability, that power tension just grows and grows. And so we're going to be looking at many different issues, from the gross to the subtle, big wars down to what happens at the individual level. And, you know, one layer that I've been seeing a lot of times, like what I like to do is I enjoy helping people with different issues. I mean, we can all help each other out. I would say I call it a share economy. People help each other, and it's a big thing. One thing I'm kind of good at is, you know, dissecting a problem and looking for solutions. And I've been doing that with a handful of friends over the years, and then particularly this week. And there was something about 3 years ago that came out called the Real ID Act, and everybody had a little meltdown, including this show, Kauai Soapbox, saying, ah, surrendering of power of the individual. No, 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 no. And our government, which is pretty good at being able to sit there and play a game of chess with the people, or the people behind the government, were able to embed this act into different areas. And so one of the most effective ways was to put that real ID, simply make it be your driver's license. Mm. So, you know, for people who have had trouble getting a new driver's license, or even if you don't, now you have to go bring your Social Security card and your birth certificate, and they take a biometric. So it is more intense than what used to be, basically, your passport.
What sort of biometric are they putting in
thank
driver's
you.
License?
Well, here in this state, it's basically your thumbprints and, like, your. I think here we do both thumbs and then your right index finger. It's like your trigger finger. I know when you go and you look for, if you try and be, for example, a substitute teacher, you have to put your whole hand down. And I know when I went in to get my substitute teacher certification, they didn't even tell me what they were doing. I don't think they meant to be deceptive, but they just said, oh, put your hand right here. So I put my hand right there, and it goes, chink, and it takes this image, and it sends it right off to the master database.
You have to do that to graduate from kindergarten, too. You put your hand right in this thing of clay.
Okay. All right. Yeah, well, I could go with the clay. But putting it on the whole database, and people go, well, if you have nothing to worry about, then, you know, it's no worries. But between that and mass surveillance issues, like I was watching Edward Snowden, who called attention to the how much, you know, he did through WikiLeaks, how the government spies on everybody. I've been watching some of his speaking. Like this last Saturday, he was a guest at an event on Oahu through like Vimeo or something, like on TV. He was a screen guest. He was also one in New York. And a movie called Citizen 4 has come out about his story. So when we look at what happens with mass surveillance, all this kind of rolls into this real ID. So state by state, they share this information with each other. So if you make a mistake in New Jersey, as a random example, it's going to now follow you throughout your life. And what has happened for people here in Hawaii in the last year, as more and more states have come on and put their information on, if a person made a mistake, say, 12 years ago, and they didn't resolve it because they didn't even really realize it needed to be resolved, or they moved past it, they were 19, they moved on, they never heard anything about it, information was sent out, they moved somewhere else. Well, now when the states are all communicating with each other, then that can be basically take your driver's license away.
What kind of mistakes are you talking about?
Financial mistakes. It can be not keeping up with your taxes. It might be a contestation on child support payments. It can be, you know, things that are basically in the civil arena. It's not like you murdered somebody in Louisiana, and so, I mean, then they probably really should be looking for you when you move to Hanalei. But these are just unpaid bills. Different elements of that, sometimes people don't know what that is. And so you can be driving down the road and not even have an infraction. We have more and more often now these road stops where they're sort of looking to see if somebody's been drinking. But even if a car pulls up and it's really evident that they're not drinking, they still look for your driver's license, your registration, all those basic elements that are there. So when that happens, they can say, oh, wow, you know, you had a problem back in Florida or on Oahu or wherever else. And then you can be, you know, they say your driver's license has been suspended. So then you get a ticket for driving without a license. And the first you learn that you were driving without a license is then. And then so having been able to go through and look and help some different people find that they had that problem, penalties and interest get put on there, sometimes it's even, you know, two-thirds of the amount that's being fined. These are sometimes incredible amounts of money that are being fined against a person, and then they can't, until they pay it off, resolve it and get their driver's license, so that we end up having a challenge.
Right, and meanwhile, you can't get to work, you lose your job, you know, all kinds of problems, and end up not even be able to pay the thing back.
Hi, Dan, can you hear me?
That's right. When we have a challenge like that, what can happen, either the person starts continuously breaking the law and risking that, or they can have, you know, another different type of challenge. So then we have that kind of a problem. Okay, so I thought I had a phone call there for a moment. Sorry, it's pausing. I do? There's somebody on the line? Yes, I want Dan. Aloha, Dan, are you on the air?
Aloha, can you hear me okay?
I do. I hear you okay. And
great.
Dan, okay, we're going to shift topics, people who are listening. Dan, I don't know if you've heard what we were speaking up until this point. We were talking about tensions of power, and I was speaking about the Real ID Act and how individual citizens are running into these points of a problem from years ago can come up and catch up with them and absolutely destabilize their lives. And this will flow into, and I'll come back to it, but what we were going to be discussing together with you. Dan, I want to congratulate you for being an individual citizen who has made a huge impact for the whole United States. So, Dan, you want to tell us what happened? You were a guest in the studio here, and you have started something that can really help to empower any and all of us. Are you there, Dan? Dan? Okay, we might have lost him. Okay, I will try and communicate back with him to get him to call again. But so until he does, when I was talking about the National ID Act and seeing what happens, it becomes for us almost two layers of citizenship. So when we have this second layer, one that can't afford a lawyer, or when you start having these problems, I have seen these situations where person basically loses their child, the child is taken from them, and then they are held accountable for all this child support for a very long time. They lose their driver's license, they can't get a passport, they can't even get elements that help them to get social services. As the doors start closing on them, it's a powerful impact that happens. And so they go through this spiral where they can't even make the money. Dan, are you back on the air with us?
Yeah, sorry, I'm not sure why I got cut off there. But,
okay, but
I'm
you're back.
Back
on. Yes. So I want you to explain what one person managed to do that is going to impact change for the whole country. I got to brag for a moment. You were on the air here in person from Hilo talking about the move to the amend effort. But tell us what's happened.
Well, it wasn't exactly the move to amend effort. They're one of many groups out there that are interested in amending the Constitution.
But that's when you came.
I kind of arrived with the Occupy movement, I guess you could say. there's basically two ways we can amend the Constitution. We can wait for Congress to propose an amendment passed by two-thirds in both houses, and then it goes out to the states, and the three-quarters of the states, or 38 states, ratify those amendments. They become part of the Constitution.
And let's back up for a moment and tell the listener why we care about that and how that ties in. Because what we're looking at is this imbalance of power where we have the wealthy and the disempowered, the corporations and the average citizen. And we have this ever-widening gap of the haves and the have-nots. So the very top percentage of the people in the country have like 80% of the wealth now.
Yes.
It's an enormous imbalance.
It's
and so
huge.
when there was something called Citizens United, many people don't know all the Supreme Court decisions. Are you familiar with Citizens United?
Of course. Sure.
So can you explain that to the listener?
Well, Citizens United took a look back at a lot of the court cases over the past century, really, and decided that corporations are just like you and me. They're people, and they have speech rights, political speech rights, and they can spend as much money speaking as they want, which means that what it really means to people like us is that, like we saw this last year in Maui with the GMO resolution they had on the ballot.
The moratorium for...
Right,
yep.
The moratorium. The Monsanto and other companies, I'm not even sure who else, joined in that battle and spent a record $8 million, at least that we know of, out there trying to win that ballot issue against a small group of citizens, really, who I don't think they had more than a couple $100,000 total to try to fight that battle. I can't even tell you. But it's
I think they had about, I think it was about $8 million to $400,000 was the variation that I've seen posted many times.
Right. And that money came from outside Maui County, really. You know, that wasn't money that originated inside that county. So we've got basically foreign companies coming in and influencing our people to do their bidding, basically. And it works on the legislators, too. They come in, they heavily finance their campaign. Of course, there's going to be some favoritism to the proposals that they put in front of them. That in some cases, these companies are writing the legislation and just handing it to the legislators and saying, here, propose it. So they're basically shills, and that's not how it's supposed to work. We are a government of the people, by the people, for the people, or at least that's what we're supposed to
do. Yeah, that's the theory, that's the concept, and so there's many of us working to reclaim it. Now, this Citizens United decision, I believe, was in 2013. Is that correct?
I believe it's in 2010, 2009, or 2009.
Okay. Was that, okay. I can look
maybe
that up.
2010. But, yeah, we just had the five-year anniversary of Citizens United, and I think things have gotten progressively worse. And they're going to get progressively worse with each election cycle because the agenda is really a corporate agenda. It's not, as constituents, we have a right of representation in our legislatures. They are supposed to be our representation. If they are not representing us, and you know, this kind of harkens to the social contract theories too, that we give these governments the right to govern us, the power to govern us, in exchange for security and protection. And if we feel that this government is setting up a long train of abuses on the people, it is time to assemble. And it's time to circumvent that government. And that's exactly what Article 5 is there for.
Article 5 of the U.S. Constitution. And I did look it up. Citizens United was January 21st, 2010, 5 years since that happened. We certainly had the problem before that decision. It just accelerated the problem. It basically encoded it as saying, sanctioned the problem. The problem is, very large donations can come in these super PACs and elements like that that make our decisions, our advertisements. And then Citizens United said, yes, hey, that's fine. That money is free speech. These companies can pay as much as they want. Tell us what Article 5 of the Constitution of the United States proclaims.
Well, it gives us the power as the people, because we they say it in the Declaration of Independence that we have the right and the duty to assemble and to throw off these governments. And that idea is expressed in Article 5, where we are petitioning through our state legislatures. They basically act as our agents, and they petition Congress, and once two-thirds of the states have petitioned for a convention to propose amendments, Congress is obligated by our Constitution, it's peremptory, they have no choice, it's a number, 34 states. Once they hit it, they are forced to call a convention, and they will set the time and the place. They don't get to debate if they should have a convention. It's a number. There's no debating it.
So my memory serves me that it has been that many states over the years have been asking for this. And
right.
There isn't, you know, a time limitation. But what you discovered is no one's counting, right? No one's counting. Meaning nobody in Congress is counting the U.S. Congress, so they're just allowing this to be ignored. And
right.
What did you do that caused the one individual, Dan Marks, from Hilo, what did you do that caused the United States government to have to stop and pay attention?
Well, there's many of us that were interested in triggering this convention. Groups like Wolfpack, there's some parts of Move to Amend that are interested in doing that.
Okay, we'll give credit to other people. What did you do?
But we had always debated where we stood as a nation, how many states had applied, and many groups had always started from zero, and we didn't have the deepest pocket. So we decided that was silly, that Congress never told anybody how many states had applied. In fact, they didn't even make that record public. So I called up the clerk of house, United States House of Representatives, and I started asking them to give us an official count of which states had applied, which states had not. After months of wrangling with them, it kind of went over their head and talked to Tom Wickham, the House parliamentarian, who's like a traffic cop in Congress. He's basically in charge of the process. And so he said, that's a good point. He says, this is what I want you to do. You write up a letter. You tell them I told you to request it from them, just like this. And so I sent this letter back to the clerk of house. I was in, you know, asking the right office. And they wrote me back, and they said that they can't count because they were never assigned the duty by Congress to count this. And this is a ministerial act, just counting these things. And that's really where the process had broken down over the last 226 years. We've never had one of these conventions.
It's an example of absurdity, then.
It is. It is. And it's a peremptory process. So really, when I asked them to count, I also gave them a list of 42 states with legal standing application. Again, it only takes 34. So, and I asked them to verify the list that I gave them. So there, I made them sign for the letter and everything. So I could prove that they have looked at this information. And they really just didn't have any choice, to tell you the truth. I made them an offer they couldn't refuse, so to speak. And it's a peremptory duty, so they forwarded it to the Judiciary Committee in the House. I also did this in the Senate. The Senate hasn't done anything with it yet. But the House, on January 5th this year, adopted a new rule to count these applications, gather them up, and put them online. And just today, we see the first application get counted, the very first one ever in 226 years just hit the internet today, and it happened to be the Wolfpack application from Illinois that they did just this last November. So we're real excited to see that.
I see that. I happen to have that up on clerk.house.gov. And it's under legislative, you know, /legislative/memorials. It's on my Facebook page. We see where it has Illinois and it's counted. Are they making this be from the zero point and moving forward, or are they going to count everybody who has requested this over the years?
Well, now I talked with the woman in the House Judiciary Committee office building who is literally going through these applications in old dusty boxes. They're going through and picking out the originals. That last application from Illinois was handy. It was, they just did it a couple of months ago. They didn't have to do too much verification for that. They're going to end up counting all of these things, and there are over 700 entries in the congressional record that I went through and started counting from to gather that list of 42. And, they come from 49 different states. The only state that hasn't made an application for this yet is the state of Hawaii. All the others have. And so you can see as the list starts going up there on that website, they're just listing the state and the date it was received. So all of these things are going to list up there. They're
so we might find that hundreds. That we are already at that number.
I can tell you the list that I submitted to Congress, if you dare submit Congress information to Congress that's incorrect, that's a felony. So I took great care in looking at these applications and made sure that what I gave them was accurate. So I can tell you from what I've seen, it's easily past the number of states required to call this convention now, and it happened quite a long time ago. And again, the only problem in that process was they just never bothered to count.
So that's very significant. I have another guest in the studio here. I want to bring him on to into the conversation. Matt, can you say hi?
Hey, how's it?
Aloha.
Aloha to you too, brother Dan.
So Matt is in here. Matt Burnaby, right?
Burnaby.
So what Matt and then his darling daughter Bailey, who is in what grade?
She's 10th grade.
10th grade. He, along with a handful of other people, what they're doing, and I signed, is a resolution. Do you want to tell us, Matt, what that resolution is? It's a county level, right?
Yeah, well, you probably already know that Oahu and Hawaii already have resolutions that are supporting an amendment to the Constitution that, can they hear me? Am I good?
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on here. Where's this phone thing coming? Okay, go ahead.
Oh, okay, perfect. Yeah, basically to reverse Citizens United, we are the County of Kauai. We want to have the County of Kauai put a resolution forth that states corporations should not receive the same constitutional rights as a natural person, and money is not speech. And my daughter and I, we went down and we got a lot of signatures the other day at the billion woman. What was the thing we were at the other day?
The 1 billion rising.
1 billion rising. There you go. I'm sorry. And we got some signatures, and I'm one of many doing this on Kauai. Oahu and Hawaii County have already passed resolutions, and so Maui and Kauai are in the process of doing it. It hasn't been put on the agenda yet. But I'm led to believe that a couple of the council members are willing to put forth the motion to put this on the agenda.
Yeah, you put it on the agenda. And so it's probably something like you don't have to have a petition to get something on the agenda.
Yeah, this petition that we're actually doing is just giving them support and more firepower when they put it forward. And once the all four counties can, then we can become one of the states that push it, like what you're speaking of. Right? Basically, we want to petition.
When we're doing this, this is something that can happen. Like, this is going really, really grassroots. So if the Kauai County Council puts forward a resolution that says we're in support of having a constitutional convention at the United States level to overturn Citizens United. If Maui does it, Hawaii does it, particularly...
Well, Hawaii Island and Oahu counties already did.
So they already have. So Maui and Kauai...
are the only ones. And Maui is also already in the process of doing what we're doing.
So we have four counties. It's really, you know, good to be able to take that to the state governor.
Yeah.
Because then when he's it, like, and it goes to the legislature. So it needs to go through the legislature, and then the governor has to sign it.
Yeah, and this is basically triple up politics. You know,
trickle up politics.
I like to call it trickle up politics, so that, you know, our voices are heard. And when I saw what you had done, I was very proud, and I made my daughters watch that, so that they could be inspired. And we really liked watching the report on the Young Turk.
Yeah, the Young Turks, where we see the Young Turks is worldwide watched news
yes.
organization online.
That was pretty good. And I got to just laugh. He called it Hilo Hawaii.
Yes, he did. I caught that one. He said Hilo Hawaii. But so as we're seeing that happen, and as the counties basically ask the state, like if you have a resolution across the counties, you know, that's a great step. I think Dan is lost for right now for a moment, but we'll see if he calls back. So the counties ask for it. That goes to the state through the Hawaii State Association of Counties is one way for it to go through. I know that there is an amendment that's come.
Well, over 600 cities and counties have already done this, and three states. What Dan was talking about, Illinois. Where is Barry? What state is that independent senator from?
That's Vermont. That's Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, Bernie Sanders. And Vermont and California have already state resolutions, you know, like this. I think that's what Dan was talking about too, wasn't he?
Well, you can have, the state. So Illinois has one. So what they're going to do is they're going to be counting other ones that are looking at it. So when these conventions come together, it doesn't mean they have to look at every single thing in the whole Constitution. It can be they could ask for an amendment to the Constitution.
Well,
this would be the 28th.
Well, I'm led to believe that on this particular issue, those three states have already formally pushed. That's what I was speaking of.
Okay.
I'm not quite. So I'm kind of I want to align if that's exactly what Dan is speaking of, too.
Well, you are listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, and what we are discussing right now is the efforts from states to be putting forward a constitutional convention to perhaps be able to add an amendment to the Constitution or change the Constitution. Normally, it takes 2/3 of Congress. And I was watching another element. You know, part of the whole problem is Congress. They're somewhat the addicts in this challenge, right? That Congress has got a challenge. Dan, you're online with us?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. I got cut off there for some questions, but
no worries.
You know, I did want to give you some encouraging information too about what's going on in the Hawaii legislature right now.
Okay. Is that Mike Gabbard and Chris Lee, I heard, are maybe putting this out?
Right. I've talked with my Senator Russell Ruderman over here on the Big Island, and he's interested in co-sponsoring the Wolfpack resolution for overturning Citizens United. And we're expecting that to get introduced here shortly. There's already another resolution from Sam Slom, the only Republican in the Senate, has a resolution for a constitutional convention as well. Plus, I saw today HCR 36 is requesting Congress propose an amendment to overturn Citizens United. But honestly, with this Congress, I'm not expecting. I'm not going to hold my breath for that, but
well, can we explore that for just a moment? Because I
sure.
think that is important. It's kind of on my general agenda for our dialogue today.
Sure.
Is when we look at a state governor and a legislature, and we're seeing, you know, this tug of war. My overall topic is about the tension of power, the tug of war of power, And, you know, people and the way our world works, it's all about the dollar in many ways. The economy is very, very strong fight on it. So we are seeing behaviors out of the governor, like, for example, setting up three lobbyists in key positions. We have Doug Chin being recommended for the Attorney General. He's a lobbyist for the Correctional Corporation of America. That makes me panic a little bit because that's the Koch brothers' private prison system. We are wholesale throwing out a lot of our people into prisons. They become inventory in the prison system. We see Doug Ching being appointed to the Department of Land and Natural Resources. So when you're taking somebody who is almost a contentious developer, he worked for Castle and Cook, but some of his projects have been the very things that people are really concerned about, him being put in the position of caretaking the land. And then Rachel Wong with the Department of Human Services, when she's been representing private medical interests, all of those are a little bit of foxes guarding the hen house. So it gives me weakened confidence on some of these things. And it's not like David Ige hasn't done anything that's comfortable, but it is a little bit difficult. And when we're seeing, even for example, what's coming up on Thursday, and I will be over there, that they're having this House Bill 1514, which is, I feel like the biotech seed farm issue is an absolute example of why Wolfpack and all across the nation, people are going, wait a minute, who is running this show? Is it corporate interests? Or is it the citizens? Is it the kids in the kindergarten that are breathing the poisons? Or is it the companies who are, you know, employing a number of people with what could be considered reckless practices? So that's a local example of a national problem. And so when we're going over there to be basically doing, we called it 2491 over here in Kauai, where we are saying, look, we need a disclosure bill. We want to know what pesticides are being sprayed, and just don't do it next to the schools and the hospitals and the care homes. You know, just keep it away from the sensitive captive people.
Okay, can I jump in
here? Sure.
So, since we have a collective of very intelligent people here, could I put out the question that how do we translate this very complicated issue to the regular person to gain their support and encompass its entirety? I mean, what examples has the last 5 years, and they're affording the liberties of the constitutional rights, can we use as an example, you know, other than finance campaign? Because some people are numb to finance campaign, right? Like, I've come across this argument, and this is a real, you know, I'm local, you know, I'm born and raised Hawaii, Kauai, and I'm from Kapaa. And within my own collective group, one anti signs, my uncle don't like sign, and I come up with this battling two arguments where, you know, and that's just one example. How do you convey how the little guy is being harmed by this Supreme Court decision, other than money is speech, which is definitely seen in finance campaign, but, you know, they don't even care about that.
You know, I would say that to a lot of people, it should be pretty obvious that the system isn't working for them.
But let's assume it isn't.
No, you have to understand that this is cultural and class difference.
Yep.
And you're putting it in an ethnocentric view that everybody's on our playing field.
Right. So, Dan, if I can jump in here for a moment, because like the words that you're choosing presume that the listener understands the political system at this higher level, and it's because you've been focused on it. So then you start to know how to use those words. What I was starting the show off with when I was giving this example of the real ID card with when you have a driver's license and you get pulled over in a regular stop, if you don't have enough money to just absolutely fight your way out of a problem, you start to lose everything. You like, for example, with getting your driver's license, if you've been married 3 or 4 times, say you're 70 years old, and it used to be people didn't just go out with somebody. If they were going to be close to them, they were married. Maybe you got married in the Philippines. Maybe you got married someplace in Texas. For women who can't find those divorce papers, sometimes they can't even get the marriage certificates, right? Everything wasn't online. They can never again get an ID. So then they can't get their Social Security, or they can't go get an EBT card, or they can't eventually get on a plane. It's like closing, closing, closing. And people go, oh, what? I don't have that problem yet. But in 2 months, this Real ID piece will be complete. And so I've been seeing as that net goes around, it's like not having the power to be able to make your own choices. And so it's like, who gets to say? Who gets to say? And even like when I've been trying to help people with their credit, you know, you go, oh, you can't get a loan from the bank. Why not? And let's say you have a name like Mike Smith or Joe Fernandez or something like that, that a lot of different people have. So when Joe Fernandez, somebody, owes money, and the creditor that wants the money, well, the creditor goes after 25 different people with that name, because somehow they want to get their money back, and they don't care if they get the wrong person. So it becomes up to Joe Fernandez to prove he doesn't owe that money. Otherwise, he can just pay the money and get it off his record. So they might get paid by 25 different Joe Fernandezes. And so you can't even make choices until you clean that up. And so it becomes very disempowering. And a lot of times people don't even know they're in the net, right? You think a giant lay net out there, well, we're in the net.
Or they're in the net and they accept it. I mean, that's what I'm trying to say. How do you get across the guys that accept it?
Well,
right, I mean, listen, you guys talk about this ID thing. I know people personally who owe money for child support and have been dealing with this before the last 5 years. Right?
Because they owe the money in this state.
Yeah.
But maybe they didn't owe it in Florida.
Oh, well, maybe it wasn't example. But
that's the difference.
Now it's crossed lines.
So it's
evolved.
So it's evolved. So it's everywhere. And so what it is that whoever holds the strings, everybody else got to go jump. And so we saw like something that could really get to people's jugular when they're thinking about, okay, smoke in a fireplace, right? A lot of people got all humbug about that. I'm not saying yes or no on that, but that one's very, very real to them. But these other things can become very, very real. And what is the case, like when we look at how much we're spending on these wars, like we're out in the trillions of dollars.
Right.
And you think of how many people don't have a house. Or even like here's a good example. When we had that real estate boom before 2008, when it burst, people started borrowing money. Everybody's like, okay, and they don't know that the party's going to shut down. Well, that was a calculated transfer of wealth. And we did this bailout where the federal government paid those banks, who then sent the money to Europe and didn't reloan it. Why didn't the federal government pay off everybody's houses? Then the banks would still yet get paid off, but people would be in the homes. Well, what happened is we lost a whole big percentage of people who actually own their homes to became tenants. So it's this thing of disempowerment. And in that case, that's an excellent example, because the banks control the government, really. You know, it's the level of power that they have. And if you look in the executive office, that would be Obama's office, how many people he has on his cabinet that are kingpins in the financial industry. So that is the type of powerlessness that people have. And it is because it's removed, you don't even really see it, right? You don't even know why they said no. You just know that they said no. And we've had big changes, like in the banking system now. When you put the money in, it's no longer guaranteed by the federal... The FDIC, it's like an insurance, the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. So it's no longer your money, it's the bank's money, and they're holding it for you. But if the bank decides it can't pay its bills, well, it can take from its shareholders. And they don't tell you that. It's not out there, and it's not on the front page of the magazines or anything, because they don't want you to know, right? And so we lose our access to having as much financial independence as we want. And in what we saw in Europe, like in Cyprus and Crete and places like that, the banks just took 15% of everybody's money. I might have my percentage off a little bit, but they froze everybody's accounts, and they took like 10-15%. They just took it. So that's called a bail-in instead of a bail-out. So instead of the federal government printing up a whole bunch of money and giving it to these banks, which creates, you know, inflation, it's a difficult thing to necessarily understand. But if they start to, they just seize your bank account, there's probably many listeners out there who have had their bank account seized for reasons they have no idea why, and the money is just taken, or portions of it is taken, because the government says, well, you owe us this, and then it's gone. And that's happening more and more. So that's an example why a miscellaneous person, I consider myself a miscellaneous person, except I'm on the show. So
I know, but that right there is a form of government intrusion or overstepping. I'm talking about these corporations. What example has the 14th Amendment helped these corporations get away with? I mean, that's kind of like, you know, does that make sense what I'm at? I mean,
it does. Dan, are you able to explain that in a simple way? Like, I don't want to lose the listener who isn't sophisticated in the financial realm. That's what you're asking.
You know, so if I'm going to be beating the street, and how can I give cases that are pertinent to the small guy who at this point of history, most are skeptic of the system?
Okay, well, so Dan, let's see if you can answer that.
I think it's just the same. When it comes to Citizens United, I think it's the same old story. Money corrupts, and it's very simple. I think that you should expect a government that works on it's coin operated, basically.
I understand what you're saying, but as I've been beating the canvas, I have actually come up with people that want an example of, and I give them the common examples that we all present here today, right? And, you know, I'm with you. I read the heading of this paper that I have over here. It's very small, the one I said earlier, and I totally get it. I don't think corporations should have the same rights as a natural person of the United States citizen. But there are people out there that actually counter question why not.
Okay, so let me give a stab at this.
Please do.
Okay, well, I'll give a stab at that, and then I'll let Dan go back to his main point. Here's a stab. We are testing drones on Kauai, right? We have a drone testing area. Well, that actually does
through Alaska, mind you.
Through Alaska.
I don't like that part.
Right.
I mean, if you're gonna at least do it, let us get the money.
Well, it's the University of Alaska, or somebody else is doing
it's
it.
Not, yes.
Okay, but so when they decide, hey, we're gonna test drones on Kauai, they don't say, hey, Kauai, are you all right with testing drones? When they decide to put TSA in our airport,
that's a good example.
They
TSA.
Don't. They don't say, hey, Kauai, do you want to be one of the first 100 airports in the entire country and one of the few airports that make you go through this naked scanner? And they never do say, hey, are you all right with it? If you go down the runway where the private planes land and take off, they don't go through a thing. And they don't understand about this Section 19 and that TSA thing. So that, like, companies like Intel and Motorola that have all kinds of Central Asian, young, intelligent, male, Muslim engineers get on planes every day. If anybody has the capacity to do what we're being guided to be frightened of, these companies have planes full of them going back and forth, absolutely unharassed at any level in it. Why? Because our economy and what we're strong at would come crashing to a halt. They're not really afraid of these people. If they were, those people would be slowed down. What they're doing is they are looking after American citizens and getting us to heal, you know, and put our hands up and let them look at our whole bodies so we surrender our power. And we were never asked about this. It never came up to discussion. They never, ever talk about Section 19. Most people don't know that there's all these private airports. So every time we go and get on a plane, you have to surrender your dignity, surrender your power to the point where people are a bunch of sheep and they don't even think about it as they get on the plane. And they believe that they're being kept safe. And safe from who? Safe from what? So that's an example of government overreach. They don't ask us if we want to go into nuclear power. They don't ask us if we want to do a lot of this stuff. It's huge decisions. They're mining the bottom of the ocean around
like
us.
Your stab
never
at
asked.
It. I like
so
your
stab
at it.
So that's my stab. Okay, so Dan, there's a stab at it. Hopefully people will understand that.
That's good. I think that resonates well with a lot of people. And if it doesn't, there's always going to be some people that won't.
Okay, so Dan, let's hear from you.
I was going to say, as far as communicating what the problem is, I think you guys are doing a much better job than I do probably talking about that. What I usually focus on is what we have to do about it. And what we saw over in Iceland was kind of the exception to the rule with what happened after the financial collapse. And what they did was they started arresting those bankers. And then they threw their government out, and they selected new people, and they assembled and they started picking from a caucus, a series of caucuses in their country. They selected 25 people from those caucuses, and they made them delegates for a convention, and they rewrote their constitution, and they did it the way they wanted to. They literally took their government back, and that's kind of what we're doing here too, but you know, they didn't ask for permission. And as the government starts to set up this convention, I mean, we need to follow suit as citizens and constituents, and we need to assemble too. And we need to make sure that our voices are heard and we build consensus around the changes that we want, or else, you know, we're not invited to this convention. But our will can dictate the agenda. And we need to make that happen on a national level, on a state level, and on a local level, because until this government starts representing us, we need to suspend our consent.
So I have, Marshall did me a favor here, and he looked up. There are 325,671 people reported as living in Iceland. So that's about, it's less than a third of how many people live in Hawaii. And so it's much easier to do there when people become apathetic, meaning they like, oh, what? I don't have time to sit there and listen to all this, work with all this. I almost full time show up at all these meetings. I'm going again this Thursday to Oahu for the legislature, third time. It is so darn expensive to go and be represented. You got to spend so much money to go up and show up for 3 minutes, and then people treat you like you're a humbug, right?
Well, that's where we got to change the dynamic here. We've got to change it so instead of us asking them and going to them, we create our own assembly. We build our own consensus, and we say to them, this is the consensus of the people.
So consensus,
this island.
Consensus means everybody agrees on this one point. So consensus
right.
is difficult. It's not the majority of us feel this way. It's we all. This is the one thing where we are all in agreement. So I think when we look at a consensus point to say everybody feels that people should matter more than corporations, and if corporations want to get all 600 of their employees to say, hey, this is my opinion, that counts. But it shouldn't necessarily be able to have the owner of the corporation or the leader of the corporation say, hey, I represent 600 people, because maybe they really don't.
What you guys have done over there on Kauai is exactly expressing your consent. When you get your county to recognize and acknowledge your petition that you want a constitutional amendment, you are expressing your consent. That doesn't have, you know, the legal teeth, you know, as getting into a constitutional process like this, but it still is a form of expression that we really need to do. And what we need to do is again, don't wait for them to give us permission to create this assembly. Create that town hall on your island that meets every month and talks about certain issues and comes to consensus to the community and just says, hey, you know what? This is the way we want it. There's really nobody that really objects to this. So, and you hand it to your government. And when they see it so clearly like that,
Well,
they,
I think
they have no choice.
I think this one is kind of an easy one because, so I'm happy that this doesn't have to be a big march. It doesn't have to be a whole lot of those things because the seven people that are in our council, whether I like them or not, and frankly, I do like them, but I don't necessarily agree with every position there. But I do like them. They're reasonable people. I think this is the type of issue that won't be difficult to get them to have a unanimous resolution. That means all seven of us are in agreement that we would like the U.S. government to not give corporations status as a person because there's no soul to save, no body to incarcerate. So they don't have the same consequence that the rest of us do. They don't die. So, I mean, or we can't give them the death penalty, right? Like, what if we found them guilty and we could say, okay, company, you get the death penalty for having made this mistake. Well, then maybe they would be more conscious of what those mistakes are. If they had to cease to exist because of a mistake that they made, they might be more accountable the way a human being is. But so I don't think it's going to be terribly difficult for this resolution to be passed. I think that is probably one that we're going to see pretty broad agreement. It's not an ethnic issue. I think the people will be like okay with that. And so if Oahu has already said yes, Oahu is the really pro corporate island. So
right.
If Oahu has said yes, and we already know Kauai, Maui, and Hawaii are like the renegades, well, we're going to say yes pretty easily. So if the state doesn't say yes this year, maybe they might say yes next year. I think Hawaii is a little bit special in that we have very significant challenges in the legitimacy of the United States being supposed to be here. Now, they are here, so I'm not arguing that, but I have been schooled and educated enough by my friends in the sovereignty movement to where I will own my bias. They have convinced me that what happened was wrong by American legal international law. You know, what happened wasn't right. And that's why two U.S. presidents even said, yep, you're right, that was wrong, we're sorry, but it hasn't changed it. So, you know, Hawaii's a little bit of a special case, I think, but to actually be asking for this, it makes Hawaii more pono rather than less in terms of having agreement with that particular community.
Well, this decision affects everybody. If you're a Republican, Democrat, a sovereign Hawaiian, an immigrant farm worker, whatever you are, this is across the board. You know,
it's not just America either.
It's Europe. It's global.
It's Middle East. It's China. We are seeing a domination of corporatism across the globe. And now we've got the TPP dealing, kind of breathing down our necks.
The Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is an international trade agreement that supersedes national boundaries. And so the United States Congress even didn't get to help form it. Corporations formed it, and the United States Congress is being told this has to be fast-tracked, no amendments, it's a yes or a no, and you better say yes.
We not only have problems with sovereignty with the United States, we're going to have more problems with this international, global community. We are nationalizing corporations with this. We've had corporate personhood, now we're talking about corporate nationhood.
That's right.
Each one of these corporations are going to be respected as if they sit in the United Nations themselves.
And that is
trouble.
They do sit there. And you know, Martin Luther King said, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And so when we're looking at these, we can flip that around. As we create more justice, as we create more fairness, even in the United States, it's going to be create fairness in lots of other locations as well. So there's a lot of value in people, reclaiming their authority.
Dan,
right.
This is Marshall. I have a question for you. Once a constitutional convention is assembled on a national level, can any amendments be proposed, and how is that done? And if so, do you see any other ones being proposed if and when this happens?
Yes. There is a limit to the convention, and it's expressed in Article 5 of the Constitution itself. No amendment may be proposed to the Constitution that would infringe upon the equal suffrage of each state in the Senate without its consent. So basically, we can't dispose of the Senate. Other than that, everything else is on the table. People will say, oh, they're going to throw up our Bill of Rights. And I can tell you, they can't touch them. If they tried to take those around to each state and try to ratify it in 38 states, it would never happen. But if we want to talk about some wildly popular ideas like banning GMO farming in the United States like they do in other countries, or abolishing oil imports in the United States, or maybe a national initiative process, or potentially Hawaiian sovereignty. There are many, many issues we can talk about. There's no limit to that. We would have to, we would have to get consent from all of the other states to actually get rid of the state of Hawaii. But there may be a way to approach it constitutionally that would recognize the sovereignty of the Hawaiian Kingdom, and that needs to be explored. I can't really tell you how that will turn out, but there really isn't any limit. If we wanted to create a king of the United States, we could. Again, I don't expect
right.
it.
Right, and the more that we suggest those things, then all of a sudden people panic, because that would be a reason people would say no, because they'd say, well, what if the sky's the limit? I have to say...
It is virtually the sky's the limit, but virtual unanimity is the threshold. You have to pass in 38 states, which means that it only takes one house in 13 states to kill any idea. It's really easy to kill ideas. It is nearly impossible to pass them. But if we can hit the right tone and hit the bullseye, and Americans completely agree, yes, we need to extend our privacy rights to our internet usage and email conversations and stuff like that.
So, Dan?
It'll fly through.
We're just past the top of the hour. I need to say this is KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea. We're going to have to wrap this up pretty soon. Matt has some comments.
Well, I just wanted to add on as the last topic that we were just talking about, that one thing that I think that would be real helpful in our political system is that if you hold a political office, you shouldn't be able to work for any company that lobbies for at least a minimum of 5 years. Maybe, you know, that way you reduce the amount of influence you have in the political system, you know, and it's not biased that you cannot go work for them. But it would, I think, help, you know, limit some of this.
You mean when you're power work or before?
Like, what I mean when you're done. So, like, if you are a senator or a congresswoman or man, you know, and you know, Halliburton or whatever the corporation that is there, right? You shouldn't be able to work for them as an advisor immediately. In fact, you shouldn't be able to drop your term and go and work for them.
Yes, and that's called peddling influence or the revolving door, and that tends to be exactly what does happen, and that's what we mentioned about in the state when we have three people who work for industry and lobby on these issues, and then they go into a government office, and then when they're done with that, then they go back into industry. So
I think that would be helpful.
This is in the Pentagon, too. It's not just Congress.
Yes, and in the Pentagon,
so many
too.
Departments.
Dan?
This is a real, real problem.
Dan, we're going to have to move on to another topic, but this has been a great start, and I would love to have you call in on some other shows as we start to look at this. But for the listener, know that from Hawaii, we are beginning a movement that is going to try and wrestle a little bit of power back to the people from the United States, and it's happening all over the country. So that is a wonderful thing. So thank you so much, Dan. Do you have a final thought?
Just thanks for having me. It's a pleasure. It's a thrill for me to talk to people in Hawaii about this. It really is, and kind of talk about it in local terms. So it's a real pleasure for me, and thanks again for having me on.
Yeah, I really appreciate you. Okay, wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
Aloha.
So, Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Bali High Realty, The Copper Man, Surf Rider Trash, and we're going to learn about NACO.
KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K224CQ, Moloa'a, K284AL, Haleiwa.
Coldwell Banker, Bali High Realty in Hanalei, serving Kauai since 1978, providing personalized real estate sales and rental services. Coldwell Banker, Bali High Realty also supports KKCR and the Kauai Independent Food Bank. More information at balihigh.com or by calling 826-7244.
The Copper Man. Copper, stainless steel, and galvanized aluminum. We specialize in ornamental and custom work and fabricate and install any kind sheet metal work, residential and commercial. Serving Kauai for over 30 years. We're still talking. HarryConti.com. That's HarryConti.com. Or 639-3456.
Marine trash from the Japanese tsunami is still arriving. Surfrider has recorded 21 compressed gas cylinders that turned up on Kauai's beaches. They are potentially extremely dangerous. We urge anyone who finds a cylinder to call 911. While Surfrider wants to record all of the marine debris, we do not remove dangerous and hazardous materials. If you find any large debris, call Barbara at 635-2593. A reminder from the Surfrider Foundation.
Dove presents One Night Only, NACO and Medicine for the People, Sunday, March 1st, 8 p.m. at KCC Performing Arts Center, with opening set by Dustin Thomas. Tickets are online at dovepresents.com or Papaya's Kapa'a, Healthy Hut Kilauea, Harvest Market Hanalei, or Progressive Expressions in Kalua. NACO and Medicine for the People, March 1st on Kauai at KCC.
So, mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. The station that loves you. So there are a lot of different elements that we were talking about there. And, you know, as I was saying, we move from the global to the local to the individual to the national. I am expecting a call. We were having a community meeting, something that Dan was saying, how important it is to go to community meetings and being involved. One of the ones that is coming up, that we tried to have them on the air themselves, the people from the Hawaii Dairy Farm. So, so you like that?
I like this topic.
Okay, you like that topic. Well, that topic is probably very likely to come up real soon. As we heard earlier, there's going to be an event on Thursday. I have to look at exactly what time that comes up, but it is in, I will find it. So here I have my caller. Aloha, you're on the air.
Hi, Felicia. This is Noelle and Bob with the Pachamama.
Hi, Noelle and Bob.
Hi. I did have some comments on your previous guest. I don't.
Okay, sure.
Know if I can share those, but particularly, what is the gentleman's name? Is it Matt? Who has
Matt.
His daughter.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Matt was talking about, you know, how you get just the everyday people involved.
Okay.
And we have done over 100 presentations of Pachamama and conscious evolution.
So what is Pachamama?
Pachamama is Alliance is a nonprofit organization that was actually started in Ecuador, and its mission is to bring forth an environmentally sustainable, spiritually fulfilling, and socially just human presence on this planet. And so what we do is we give a four-hour symposium and talk about what's going on the planet, where are we, how do we get here, what's possible, and what's mine to do. And so we look at all aspects of what's going on our planet right now.
So, well, yes. So, how that relates, because you said this was tying into what we were just speaking about. It's about empowerment, right?
Right. And what some people don't realize is they're completely hypnotized by what's going on in this planet, or let's say in our society. And so at the end, there's two organizations that Pachamama invites people to get involved with. One of them is Move to Amend.
Oh.
And the other one is Move to Amend. What's the other one? Move to Amend and Citizens Climate Lobby.
Okay. So this is both spiritual and political.
Spiritual, political, environmental, yes. And so, you know, they chose those organizations, they vetted those organizations because they believed that if we could get climate awareness and people to, you know, realize, you know, to be empowered and take back our Constitution, then we'll solve most of the problems on this planet.
Well, that's good. So this is, you said you had two events. Did I hear Saturday and Sunday?
Yeah, Saturday and Sunday. Saturday in Kilauea, and then Sunday in Lihue.
Yes, I think I know who's speaking, and I plan on attending.
Oh, great. Yes, hi.
How's it? Yeah, I think you emailed me, too, didn't you?
Yes, I did email you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Nice to hear you on the radio. And,
yeah.
I would like to say I'm familiar with Move to Amend. I think that's where I met you, was at that seminar.
Well, tell people what Move to Amend is. I brought that up also, but the listener, let's not presume they know what Move to Amend is. So, Matt, what's Move to Amend?
Well, Move to Amend is this guy, David Cobb, I believe is his name. Is that his correct name? I want to double-check that.
That's his name, David Cobb. He was here on the island this time last year.
He came down, and I took my daughter to it, and it was like about a four-hour seminar. And what he had educated us on was basically the history of the United States through the prism of how it's changed corporate to where we are today, leading up to Citizens United, and how the 13 colony. I mean, he gave us an education on basically a corporate law interfused with government and the history.
So when I hear Move to Amend, that means Move to Amend the Constitution of the United States.
Move to Amend it's actually about the Citizens United.
Which, again, for a listener who might have just tuned in, is the Supreme Court decision that gave even more power to corporate entities, almost looking at the spending of money as freedom of speech.
Well, it's a double-edged sword. They gave them the constitutional freedoms that was awarded to a citizen, and they also said money is speech.
Right. So, Noelle, so when people come, you said Saturday in Kilauea, 1 to 5?
Yes, 1 to 5 at the Kilauea School and Public Library. We'll be in the library.
And then on Sunday in Lihue?
Yes, in Lihue in the Kauai Sun Village. It's behind the Wilcox Hospital. We're going to be doing it in their Building C, their media room downstairs.
And so when somebody would come, they would... It's okay, I can't tell you the price, even if there isn't a price. So if somebody was to come to this event without a price, they would... What would they expect to learn in there? Is it going to be a presentation? Is it going to be exercises? Mental exercises? What would they expect?
They would expect 4 hours with a break of a multimedia presentation by my husband, myself, and then using videos. And then we also do interactive thought exercises. So there's time for reflection and meditation during the 4 hours on some of the issues that we bring up. And then we also talk about solutions and what people can do locally to be part of the solution.
Well, I like it, but I would like to just interject here that, you know, the young local community is probably going to be really more adhesive to this technique because, you know, the older generations, they're still bitter from the plantation era, some of them.
Okay.
And you know, and when I was talking earlier, I was referring to my age and up when I come across, and they're to the point where, you know, they don't trust anything, and they want a concrete example of what Citizens United is doing to harm them in present real time. It's kind of what I was getting at earlier. However, I'm down for your, you know, bringing my daughter down and maybe a few of her friends, you know.
So, Noelle, are you able to give an example of what Citizens United, how it harms people if you lived your entire life on Kauai and you are busy with your life and you don't pay attention to the news? How would you say that impacts you?
Well, I feel that what happens is that we think we're being represented by the people that we vote for, and we're not. What's happening is that the corporations are like a shadow government that's pulling all of these strings and making decisions that impact our daily life. And even though I may vote someone into office, that doesn't mean that they're going to represent me when it comes to when the politician has to make a choice to do what does the corporation want, who's financing my campaign, and what does the citizen want, who hasn't maybe contributed anything to my campaign. And unfortunately, it's the corporations who are winning. So there will be policies made such as GMO, which is not in the citizen's best interest, but Monsanto is financing and is able to write blank checks to all these politicians so that the politicians starving for finance campaigns will do what Monsanto wants, not what Kauai citizen wants.
Okay, thank you for that. And I do want to say also, if you are a listener who has a completely opposing viewpoint, 826-7771, these are the opinions of the people who are calling in. Having gone through a campaign recently and spoken to many people, I know mm-hmm. that there is, you know, probably 60% of this island that aren't in agreement with that viewpoint. So I'm acknowledging that. Like, it might be that the three of us that have the mic feel like we don't want that industry here. That doesn't mean everybody feels that way, right?
Absolutely. Because, you know, if you just yank out the GMO and the farm, there's a lot of jobs that are involved there.
Well, I would like to add one thing in there, that even on these three mics, our opinions differ, because I'm more angry at the monopoly that's created between the three companies that are over here and how they work interchangeably and the deregulation of the industry more than just the industry here, right? I'm angry that they're not growing real stuff and we're not taxing them, but I'm not anti 100%, right? I mean, if Monsanto truly was making some feed corn or something decent...
And they aren't here. Monsanto is not on
this island. Oh, okay. Well, if Pioneer or whoever is here, Syngenta, you know, is truly contributing to the agricultural output of this island, right? And they weren't monopolized and they didn't have the ability of the Citizens United to not let them give out their stuff, I wouldn't be that bad with it. And so even us three have a different opinion.
Right. And where I do want to just also, this was another issue I wanted to bring up, so I'm going to feather it in here, Noelle, and then we're I'm going to need to move on to another caller in a moment. But
okay.
Even when we look, all of these things are complex. So if we were to look at what this particular agriculture industry does, we could look at what they do right. So like an example that I think is a really important example, and we're going to need to be having some shows on this, is how our surface water is managed. Now, people may not like that there is diversions on the surface water, but what they are doing is they are keeping those awais and water pipes flowing. And what I'm seeing in another show I'm going to have to do soon, which is, again, people empowerment, is the east side, I've been getting people calling to my attention that somebody's stealing the water. You know, where's the water going? But I've been trying to look at that. I want to do some hikes. But what my sense is, at least in part, is that these ditches are collapsing and the tunnels are collapsing. So it's not a theft. It is a collapse.
Yes, it is.
And when there's a lot of rain falling, the parts of the ditches that work are operating like a swale. So they're collecting the water, and the water's running sometimes, and when it doesn't rain so much, none of it's coming because there's a collapse.
And I'll even go one further, that as reservoirs shrank and water was redirected over time, you know, some landowners that backfilled their ditches that ran through the front of the yard or in the middle of the yard, and that actually creates the overspill, like on Kaapuni. you know, some of the roads that I know as a kid, because I'm from that area.
That's Kapaa.
Yeah, that's Kapaa side. You know, like my own aunt has some of hers back filled in. And now when the rain really comes, it's shunted onto the road and it goes directly to the roundabout.
Right, and we've had that problem in Kilauea too. So, Noelle, thank you. So what I'm hearing is what you're offering is a workshop symposium for people to not just think about the spiritual and raising their own inner awareness to a point of empowerment, but also how that spills over into direct action, like working within the political system.
Right, and it's about our Mother Earth Pachamama is the Ekpachuar Indian word for Pachamama, Mother Earth, and it includes not only our earth, but the sky, all of time, and all of life.
So that's so, Saturday in Kilauea, 1 to 5 at Kilauea Elementary School, Sunday 1 to 5 at Sun Village, in the senior apartment complex behind Wilcox.
Right, and there is no charge. All are welcome.
Okay. Thank you so much.
We have an announcement, Felicia. A caller asked us to say that on Thursday night, February 19th, right, at KCC at 5:30 in the evening in the Inouye Tech Building, room 114, there will be a meeting regarding pesticide testing and honeybees. Apparently, the county is making money available to test for pesticides in the honey of honeybees, and the state is going to help with the honey samples. That's the information as I understand it. It's Thursday, February 19th at 5:30 in the
Inouye building, the tech building.
Right, room 114.
Okay. Is that the college campus you're talking about?
Yeah, at Kauai Community College. Okay. And I believe we have another caller. Aloha, thank you so much for holding.
Hello, Felicia.
Yes.
I'd just like to make an announcement.
Sure.
And this announcement is that Kapaa Library, 6 o'clock, Friday on the 20th, I will be talking about the overture from 1893, and we're also going to be showing a movie on occupation and things like that.
Okay, so this Friday, this coming Friday?
Yes.
And then that's the Kapaa Library at 7 o'clock?
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. And then is that with Kauai Peace and Social Justice?
This is Jimbo.
Yeah, of course they know who I'm talking to. So can I ask you what the name of the movie is?
Yes. I probably going to show No Heaven.
No Heva, okay.
Yeah.
All right, I've seen that. Yeah. That's a it's a good film. It's really worth watching.
Mm-hmm.
And then just because I have you on the phone, another thing that I had on my hit list today is to be speaking about when I'm looking at world issues. I found it very interesting what went into the media, the national media, was comments that China made. And I know it was a rhetorical comment, which means they don't mean it, they're just saying it. But I found it kind of powerful. It made national press in a handful of places. And that was about what if China armed the independence movement in Hawaii. Did you see any of those articles? I saw them floating all over on Facebook.
Oh, no. But if they do, you know, give the weapons to the Hawaiian people, we're going to have another ISIS on our hands.
Well, I mean, I saw this going around in several different ways. To me, it was really clear that China was saying to the United States, hey, you know, you're giving us a hard time about Taiwan or Tibet. Well, we could give you a hard time about Hawaii.
Yeah, well,
so what's the story with that? So China is saying to the U.S., hey, you're no better. So China is actually validating the statement of the sovereignty movement.
Right, yeah. America knows it, but they don't want to face the truth yet.
Yes, but I did see that there was a rash of these statements, though I was, you know, I do want to say that it's pretty clear to me that that is not a serious piece, that they're offering weaponry or going to be arming people. So what I did see that was going around on the internet is people were thinking that's a serious thing, and are we going to have, you know, a civil war over here? And so I had people showing me this, you know, calling my name into these different dialogues, and so I did look it up.
Yeah.
And it is a comment that's being basically stated, like, look, this is what's going on. Don't threaten us with interior civil war. We won't threaten you, but they certainly were acknowledging some of the injustice that happened here, or is happening here. So your film is talking about that occupation. Noheva is a modern presentation about what's going on in Oahu that is really, I've seen the film, it's only worse now than it was then in terms of the displacement that's happening on Oahu of people.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Yeah, okay. I'm not down with that, that the mayor of Oahu's new laws towards the homeless, because they affect a lot of Native Hawaiians for sure. You know, I mean, that's their culture, some of them, to be out there, you know.
Well, and here's your thing about the Citizens United element. Here's an example. The whole way our economic structure is a very big part of what is pushing people out of the housing, no matter what race they are. And I will acknowledge that the Hawaiian people, this is their indigenous home. They are the worst of the ones to be being pushed out, or the least that should be pushed out. I don't want to see anybody pushed out, but that's an example. That's the trickle down of the politics that puts dollars before people.
Well, I've made the point on this subject that Hawaiians need to get on board with this because once
with
overturning Citizens United, because that once the corporates take over the power, there's no negotiating.
So, Jim, do you have an opinion on that?
At least within the system now, you can still have some gains made.
And Jim, do you have an opinion on that? Are you still on the air? Okay. All right. All right, I think I lost him. Do I have another caller? Okay, aloha, you're on the air.
Aloha, Felicia. I would like to bring it to the attention of the listeners that there is a hate crime going on in Hawaii against the Hawaiians. I know that the Attorney General's annual report, Hate Crimes in Hawaii, 2013, that was the last one, they are working on the 2014, did not indicate any hate crime on Kauai.
So but can Hague...
Hate, H-A-T-E.
Oh, hate, okay.
Hate crime, yes.
Okay.
And then we have to go to define what is hate crime. But the Hawaii Revised Statutes, sections 846 to 851, says, similar to the federal definition, the term hate crime is legally defined in Hawaii as any criminal act in which the perpetrator intentionally selected a victim, or in the case of a property crime, the property that was the object of a crime, because of hostility toward the actual or perceived race, religion, disability, ethnicity, national origin, gender identity or expression, or sexual orientation of any person. Now, I don't want to go into the legal aspect of this anymore, because there is a current event that it could be definitely considered or qualified as hate crime. And in the Honopepe lookout, there were two signs erected by the Hawaiians. And those were there from January 15th until February 11th. When they were removed, the steel pipes were sold off, and the signs, which were big one, at least 6 feet in width, and four in height, they were removed. There was another sign there too, and that was also removed.
And what did the sign say?
Okay, the big sign says, "Aloha. While you are visiting our beautiful Hawaiian islands, we'll help you learn about our people, our history, and our feelings. The flags and signs that you see on trucks and houses also express those feelings and our desires.
The green, red, yellow Kanaka Maoli flags call for the restoration of the independence of our great Hawaiian nation. And the Kue America and Kue America signs say in Hawaiian, resist and reject America. Our ancient culture and rich language need only these short words to express our heartfelt anger towards the U.S. government and its foreign policy for the illegal occupation of Hawaii by the USA that has been going on since 1893. We never approved this occupation, never liked it, and will never accept it. We demand the full restoration of our sovereignty and independence. This is a call to our brothers, sisters, and to all peace-loving supporters of the Hawaiian nation to stand up and speak up for our rights and for our freedom. Enjoy your stay now, and if you support us, come back again after our independence is restored. The Hawaiians. And underneath, this is an educational sign of the Hawaiian nation. Do not remove or alter. This was one of the signs. And I don't think it hurts anyone. It tells the truth, but it is not offensive. And the other one says, Aloha. This area was cleaned up by the local citizens and supporters of the lawful Hawaiian government who love their aina. Please keep our beautiful island clean. Take your trash back home or dispose of it in the containers and remember, Aole o Kauai o America, Aole loa e lilo ana. Kauai is not America and it never will be. Enjoy your stay on Kauai. Now this was there, it was already removed 3 years ago by the mayor. And of course we were fighting to get it back, and we got it back, and the excuse was that it was within the right of way of the highway. So we placed it way beyond the right of way. Now this time we reported it to the police again on the 11th, and the police officer came out and explained to us that the chief informed them that DLNR removed these signs from private property. So, you see, the FBI set up four characteristics that define hate crime.
And
go ahead.
Let me, you are listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox. Continue. So, so is these signs considered a hate crime?
Yeah, well, we consider it a hate crime because the removal of them without even asking and without damaging it,
you consider the removal a hate crime?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Not the signs. And we requested an answer from the DLNR, Kauai office, to tell us on what did they base on the decision, which section of Hawaiian Revised Statute upon which they removed the signs without notifying the owner and without misappropriating the signs.
So I have a question.
Yeah, that was the question to DLNR. They did not, they said they will get back. We called twice, they didn't get back. So we are planning to write to the Attorney General and to the Chief of DLNR.
Is their core complaint that you're putting a sign on public property and that
that was private property.
It was private property.
Yes. Yes. And we checked first in the tax office if the property beyond the right-of-way is public or private, and it is private property.
And so you had permission from the owner to
yes.
put it there. All right. Well, that's... So they said obstruction of the view plane, you put it in a different place, they removed it again.
And that's correct.
Hmm.
Interesting. And they don't give explanation.
So that's an example of, you know, this what we're talking about in this entire show, which is about power. Like, who gets to have the power? How come some people have power, some people don't have power? And to me, what it reminds me of, for people who played the game of Monopoly,
yes.
if the game's been being played for about 10 rounds, and then you come into the game, and then you're not able to really start to get ahead in the game, how can you possibly get ahead in the game? The game is stacked against you. And so when we have these corporate entities, and even really honestly, the governments are corporations. So they have all this extra power. So you're getting into a game that they've been able to be playing for long since before you were born. And it's very difficult to come in with any level of fairness. So we're all going to have to engage, and we're all going to have these dialogues to make a difference. So, caller, I'm really glad that you shared that about those...
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Were you able to actually press charges, or did they deny you the right to press charges?
Oh, great question.
No, we filed the police report. We filed all those... Okay. First, the police officer said, well, I don't think I should take, but then I said, are you prohibited to take a police report? Then he said, I'll take a police. I'll write up something. I'm going to get a copy of the report today. It was fired by one of the officers of the lawful Hawaiian government. And what really bothers us that it is not the first time, because our ahus, you probably know what an ahu is.
It's an altar. Well, like a rock structure?
That square pile of stones, yeah. That's property marker, actually.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, according to the Hawaiian traditions. They were also damaged. And no other sign was damaged in the area. Just imagine if there was a sign which says that Jews are God's chosen people. If somebody destroyed it, or blacks have power, we are here, and they destroy it or they mess it up, the FBI would be here to try to find
right,
those.
Right, right. So, yeah. Like, when you... It depends upon who's making the complaint against who, whether it has validity or not. I'm going to let Matt have one final thing, and I have two callers holding, so okay. Then I'm going to have to end this. Thank you.
What you're talking about is that Puli Hali, yeah. A friend of mine got busted on his quad, but everybody had their trucks out there, yeah. And he got singled out.
Yeah. Okay?
And I told him when he went to court, asked him if the rest of the trucks got the tickets. So if they didn't go after the other signs,
yes.
Then you might have a prejudice case, and you should take this to the court. I believe you shouldn't just end it at this. You should go through the court system.
Okay.
Circumnavigate the police and go do a civil charge or something.
And invite me to the case.
Yeah, let me just add one sentence. I know you have to take care of other callers. I would suggest, Felicia, that you have a program about human rights violation against Hawaiians for hate crime. I would get native Hawaiians, because there are many more cases. I would be helping you to prepare for the show, and we would have enough people, native Hawaiians. Who
okay, so will you help me with that? Do you have my number? Do you know how to get a hold of me?
I have only the KKCR number.
I'm 6524363.
6524363. Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Call me later. Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much for holding. You are on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Good evening.
Hi.
Hi, Felicia. It's Bridget Hammerquist.
Hi, Bridget.
Hi. How are you tonight?
Good.
Well, you know the dairy is coming for a meeting Thursday night.
And where is it at? At what time?
It's going to be at Kaloa Elementary School in the cafeteria at 7 p.m. And they're going to be reviewing with the public the EIS process, environmental impact statement process. They posted a notice with the Department of Health, the Office of Environmental Quality Control, on January 23rd. And in the notice, people were told then by the department that they had until February 23rd to mail comments in to three different addressees. So the comments are supposed to go back to the State Department of Health, and they have an address on their website. It's supposed to also go to the applicant's consultant, which is Group 70 International, and to the applicant, which is Hawaii Dairy Farms. So they list all three addresses. And if you want, I could share that with your listeners. But
okay, please do.
Okay, hold one. Let me bring it up, if I may, because I've got it all written out here. I'll chat while I'm doing that. And they... interestingly enough, I found an act. They sort of sounded like they were doing this all voluntarily, but in fact, there's a statute, and it's 172, and it says that if a party is doing an EIS, they've not already done an environmental assessment, they have to have at least one meeting with the public in the 30-day comment period. So this is the first comment period, this 30-day comment period. So they have to have this public meeting, and they're supposed to be there to describe what they intend to do in their environmental impact statement and give the public a chance to say, For instance, what are you going to do about X? How about Y? Just to make sure that the scope of the environmental impact is sufficiently broad that it covers all areas of concern. If a person wants the opportunity to weigh in on the draft EIS when it gets filed with the Department of Health and have a right to comment on that, they're supposed to register their comments now to get their standing so they can actually have standing in the future to comment. And so I'll go through these series. So how the meeting's going to be conducted, I'm not sure. That's going to be something that Hawaii Dairy Farms has arranged.
So to be clear, the dairy themselves are the ones coming out to talk to the people about what they've got planned for their environmental impact statement.
My understanding is that that's correct because they went on the newspaper. If you go to the Garden Island, their website, it's printed on the top of every page for the last couple of days announcing the meeting, and it's done by Hawaii Dairy Farms. And I don't know the details of how they're going to conduct the meeting. I heard today that they're thinking of breaking people up into groups and having a group deal with, you know, water concerns, another group maybe dealing with pollution concerns, et cetera, that they're going to have.
So that actually sounds productive. You know, people might want to be in go around to different groups, but then at least people can be really heard. I want to congratulate them for making an honest effort if it's in the paper every day. And I know that they had an announcement on this show today. I mean, they are working to get people's awareness out there, and you are helping them right now by calling people to this event.
Thanks. Yep, we're trying. And then, you know, the hope is that it is going to be an honest environmental study so that they can adequately assess. And we actually had the attorney for Friends of Mahalapu ask them if they wanted to come to a meeting. And so we did invite them to come to a meeting. And they responded and said they were too busy. But, you know, as he said, it's important to extend the olive branch. We have tried to work collaboratively with them. I know Kyle Dotta had an article in the paper the other day where he said there's been a lot of misinformation and that misinformation is what's raising concerns in the public. But I haven't actually seen any factual item that's been refuted that, for instance, Friends of Mahalapu has put out. And we've been really upfront with our statement of facts and with the facts that we feel suggest that the dairy would be better placed in another location.
So Matt's also in the studio. He would like to give some comments.
Well, I would like to just clarify. Am I correct to believe that the plan is about 700 cattle at this facility while the rest of the cattle is grazing throughout the rest of the island and they rotate this cattle through?
They may, Matt, have cattle elsewhere, but they're starting the farm with 699 pregnant cows.
Pregnant cows.
Okay. So they're not going to be 699 for obvious reason for too long. And then they will birth and double the herd.
Although typically, and not that it feels good, typically 50% of those calves will be calves, not heifers. About half of them are going to be male, which typically are killed. So you're going to get probably if you have 700, then you're going to get 1,050. Then you probably have to wait for another round to get half baby girls.
Right. And I've put out this idea that why can't they create a mechanism to capture this manure, sterilize it, market it as Kauai organic fertilizer, which would triple the price right off the bat. Because my people that I work for buy cow pellets, sterilized cow pellets. I mean... And then the other thing is, have you guys even realized that the horses are all through there with their horseback? I mean, I just fished there the other day, and there is horse manure all up and down the sand.
Well, you know, I'm sorry, somebody's pointing something out to me. There are horses through there, Matt, but not in this kind of number.
Well, there's manure all over the beach. I beg to differ. I stepped in it all over, and that's a violation of the Water Act right there. So that's an industry that doesn't have any benefit. Like milk, at least can benefit.
Yep, that's
right.
True.
And so this is an industry that the Hyatt is willing to bank off of for their people, but they don't want the cows to benefit the milk for the locals. And I had somebody point out, oh, soy milk. Well, soy is a GMO product, first of all.
Yeah.
And I don't like soy milk.
No, I'm not very fond of it either. And it's been decided that soy milk isn't really good for us either. And the whole debate about how good is milk for us, you know, is kind of for another day. From our perspective, it's the volume of cows, it's the volume of waste, and it's the potential contamination and degradation of the water in the area and the beach. Clearly, the cows are going to put out much more than the horses do. And yes, there are occasionally piles of manure on the beach. There actually is somebody from the stable that cleans up those piles of manure. But when you're having 3 million pounds of manure a month from their startup herd, and 8.5 million pounds of wet manure a month from their full herd, that's not something that you're going to get to, you know, clean up. So,
but that's evidence to create the industry to outsource the product. I mean,
yes.
That's what I believe.
Well, the difficulty for them, I guess, is the paddocks. They've designed these paddocks, and they're 4-acre parcels, and they're grazing the herd on 6 4-acre parcels a day. So the startup herd, they're going to have 115 cows in a 4-acre paddock. And then they're going to rotate them the next day to another 4-acre paddock. But because of all the fencing between these paddocks, and that's for trying to let the grasses regenerate on the unused portion, but because of all that fencing, it makes it difficult to get equipment in to make any effort to collect manure. So they're actually leaving, it's called a land application of waste. So they're leaving the urine and the manure that falls every day where it falls. About 10%, they say, will be in the barn and raceways, and they'll collect that and put it in the effluent pond. But, you know, that is going to leave an awful mess of urine, and the surface of the farm site has a river on it, or a stream, the two of them, Waiopili and Wailau, and one of them has been diverted to a ditch, a large ditch called Ditch 9. It's been on record with the state since actually the sugar time. The farm cleared it, the dairy people cleared it out, opened it up, and when we asked them where does it go, they admitted it drains to the ocean. So it's more an issue of the volume that's going to happen. And so we're not opposed to the dairy, but we just feel the location is not safe.
So it sounds like there's lots of good questions. You're bringing up examples of what will probably be spoken at there. So people on either side of the issue, whether they support it or they don't support it, they should go.
Yes.
They could go. I don't want to tell anybody what to do, but if they're interested in going, Thursday, 7 o'clock at Kaloa Elementary School, I am planning to go. I will be there. So thank you very much, Bridget.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And if they want to go to the OEQC website to get those three addresses,
yes,
they would look up the EIS notice that was printed January 23rd, and they'll have all three addresses.
So they would go. EIS Hawaii Dairy Farm Kauai on like a Google search.
Right.
That would
probably work. Or they could go to OEQC at doh.hawaii.gov. So it's OEQC at doh.hawaii.gov.
Office of Environmental Quality
Control.
Control. Okay.
Yeah.
OEQC. So thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Take care.
Take care.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.
So you're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox. Marshall and Matt are in the room with me. We're going to get, we'll probably have time for two more quick calls. Then we're going to have jazz with John after we hear the county council report. Aloha. Thank you for holding. You're on the air.
Oh, yes. Do you know tomorrow, is there a hearing on that fireplace issue?
Oh, let me look. You mean at the county council?
Yes.
I will pull that back up. I've had that. I looked for that. I didn't see it. I'm pulling it back up. And where I do look for that, in case people are looking themselves, is if you go to kauai.gov.
Ah.
There's an agenda there, and I do happen to have the agenda of the county council in front of me. It's called a special session. We're going to hear that county council report. And I don't I don't see that there. John Gordon is in the room here. John, do you know if the fireplace ordinance is coming up tomorrow at the county council? He's the one who does the county council report.
I think so. I think it's on the regular agenda. The special meeting is just an interview of candidates.
Oh, okay. So he thinks it's on the regular agenda. So I'm not finding that agenda.
Okay, well, I can go. What is it?
Kauai.gov.
Kauai.gov. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then you go and look at county council and you'll see the agenda.
Okay, I'll go check it out. I was curious. I listened to a tiny bit of a previous caller. It was kind of interesting. He sounded like he was from another country. He was spouting sentences regarding law, and I guess it was applied to issues of
hate crimes. Is what he was speaking to.
Right, because what, somebody knocked down these stones?
No, somebody took away signs that were posted on private property. They were signs that were speaking to the opinion and the feelings of the Hawaiian community, that particular group of the Hawaiian community.
So these were signs that were speaking to the Hawaiian sovereignty issues, but the signs were on private property?
That's right.
Ah, okay.
And so they had been taken down, and he was feeling like, how can they come and take down our signs? You know, we have a right to put up signs.
So presumably, the property that the signs were on, that the landowners had given permission to have the signs there?
That was what was stated, yes.
Uh-huh, interesting.
So it's an important point.
Oh, yeah, no, it is. I just took issue with the statement that he made that... This place here is the Kingdom of Hawaii. It's never been a part of America. It's always been the Kingdom of Hawaii, or words to that effect.
Well, I think he was quoting the sign.
Yeah, he was reading what was on the sign.
Okay, well, even more apropos. Well, you know, he's wrong. He's welcome to his beliefs and the issue of sovereignty, they're welcome to their beliefs, but this is in fact the state of Hawaii as part of America, and you know, he's wrong.
And I have other calls waiting, so I'm going to have to take them.
Sure, I understand.
So it's a question of, like, well, are we in agreement with the sign or not in agreement with the sign? The sign was, it sounded to me, stated fairly, and that was the perspective of those people, and that's how they felt. So that's what was there.
Yeah, I don't agree. I don't agree that the sign should have been vandalized. That there's really no call for that kind of things. But I was thinking about. What that reminded me of, because again I didn't hear the entire conversation, but what that reminded me of were these cairns of rocks that you see here and there around the island.
Those are the ahus, yes.
Yeah, and they're ahus.
Yes, ahus.
And they mean what?
Well, he was saying right there it was a land division or a marker. I might not know what my understanding of an ahu is. It is something like an altar.
The feeling that I get when I read the signs that are there by those piles of stone, the feeling that I get is that by placing these stones there, these sovereignty people are trying to come in through the back door to establish a something as fact, which may or may not be fact. They're trying to reclaim something that was lost a long time ago. The Kingdom of Hawaii was lost when Queen Regent Kaahumanu sat down with the men and ate food with the men and overthrew the kapu system. That was when the Kingdom of Hawaii was lost.
That's 1820, I believe.
Yes, this was before the missionaries.
That was when
the backbone of the Hawaiian nation was broken, and it took another 70 or 80 years for the kingdom to actually die.
I believe that's the Makahiki for the Kamehameha I.
No, the Makahiki came in with... Makahiki. I don't know what you mean by that.
Oh, the party. You know, the celebration after the king died, she has to break the top, the kapu on the
banana. Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
That's when that event occurred, I believe.
Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, the death of the Hawaiian kingdom ended right then and there when Kaahumanu broke the kapu and set off this whole long chain of events that led to the overthrow in 1893. And you can wiggle on the hook as much as you want to and yell and scream, but we were annexed and we're now a state of Hawaii.
I've learned that I am facilitating this discussion and not deciding what is right or wrong.
Oh, sure.
I did look it up, and Bill 2573, which I think is the fireplace discussion, it is going to be on the agenda tomorrow.
And do you know the time?
I have two more callers coming
in. Okay, I'll let you go.
It looks like it's at the very beginning, so that's probably 10 o'clock, but call the council and ask.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Aloha, thank you so much for holding. You're going to have to go real quick. Aloha, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Bob. Felicia, we met at the 1 Billion Rising. My wife, thank you for taking her call earlier and chatting about
Thank you, Bob. Go real fast.
I just want to let people know if they want to register in advance, they can go to Pachamama, that's spelled P-A-C-H-A-M-A-M-A, Pachamama.org, under the Learn Engage tab, and find the symposiums that are on the world map right here in Kauai for this weekend, and they can sign up there, or they can walk up the events from 1 until 5, but we'd appreciate if they could come early at 12:30 so we could start right on time, and we'd love to have your listeners join us and be a part of this weekend.
Okay, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Felicia. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Aloha, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. I just sent you the three addresses that have to be for the comment period.
Okay, so what I will do is I will put it on my Facebook page.
Great. Sorry, I didn't have it right at my fingertips.
Okay, no worries. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Felicia.
Aloha. Bye. So you have been listening to Kauai Soapbox. This is Felicia, and I have Matt in the studio with me and Marshall. You guys both need to say aloha.
I would just like to say thanks for having me in the studio today, and for all the listeners, all the people that called in, and everybody on the web, you know, have a great day. And, night, if you're in night, it's about night here, too, so somewhere. But I also want to say I kind of played the devil's advocate so that we weren't all on one side today.
Yeah, it's really good to have diverse opinions, and
some of the positions I took were just for the conversation's sake.
Yeah, perfect. All right, thank you so much. Marshall?
Aloha,
Oops, hold on.
Aloha, everyone.
Okay, perfect. And so we're going to hear the county council report. This is KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, Jazz with John is up next. And I so appreciate John for helping to inform the community of what's up with the county council report that comes on regularly. Thank you, John.
Aloha. I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's a county council report for the week of February 16th. There will be a special council meeting on Wednesday at 8:45 a.m. and a committee meeting at 9 a.m. The meetings will be in the council chambers in Lihue. Here's some highlights from the agendas. The purpose of the special council meeting is to interview Cheryl Stigmeyer, a candidate for the Charter Review Commission with a term ending on 12/31/2015. Here are highlights from the committee meeting. The Public Safety Committee has on their agenda Bill 2573, a bill relating to declaring a public nuisance. Public hearing held on this on February 11th. The Planning Committee has on their agenda Bill 2571 for an ordinance establishing procedures, development plans, and future growth areas for the Lihue Planning District. Public hearing also held on this on February 11th. The Budget and Finance Committee has on their agenda Bill 2570 for an ordinance amending Ordinance Number B-2014-781 as amended relating to the operating budget of the County of Kauai for the current fiscal year, revising the amounts estimated in the General Fund, Highway Fund, Solid Waste Fund, Sewer Fund, and Golf Fund. That's full funding of the OPEB annual required contribution in the amount of $1,503,504. Public hearing held on February 11th. Also on their agenda is Bill 2572 for an ordinance amending Ordinance B-2014-781 as amended relating to the operating budget of the county for the current fiscal year, revising the amounts estimated in the general fund. This is for the Office of the County Attorney's Special Counsel account in the amount of $650,000. Public hearing held on this on February 11th. And finally on their agenda is Bill 2574 for an ordinance amending the county code relating to real property taxes. This is for real property tax relief for the 2015 tax year and a public hearing held on this on February 11th. For more information, visit the county's website at www.kauai.gov. Until next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Aloha.
And you are listening to KKCR Honolulu, KAQA, Kilauea, Work Kauai's Community Radio, and Jazz with John is coming up very shortly. And Jazz with John is made possible as soon as I find it. Yeah, it's made possible by listeners.